It's Newcastle's Hit 106.9 with Nick, Jess and Ducko. Now, the app everyone is talking about, would you believe, it's not TikTok, it's not Instagram, it's COVID Safe, guys. ScoMo and the government urging us to download it, saying it is our way out of coronavirus. Have you guys downloaded it?
Yes.
Absolutely, me too. But we...
Prove it. Give me your phone.
Okay, I'll show you my phone. Jeez.
Oh, was it you? I wasn't convinced with that, yes.
Well, where is it? COVID Safe. Yeah. Bottom left.
All right, checks All right. out.
There it is, yeah. But we wanted to know, is COVID Safe actually worth it and how does it help, Mara? So we got ourselves an absolute tech expert on. He's a futurist and host of The Next Billion Seconds. It's a podcast on Podcast One. His name is Mark Pesce. He joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How long in years is a billion seconds?
It's about 31 years, about a generation.
That's quick.
Quick answer, Mark. That. You've been asked that one before. Very good. You've done your research on your own podcast title.
Hey, Mark. Quickly, Mark, have you got the COVID app?
I do.
Okay. Now, is it worth it? Talk us through it.
Show us your phone.
Let's just be really clear about what it does, all right? What it does is it simply, your smartphone sends out a ping, and it uses Bluetooth. Bluetooth signals don't go very far, and any smartphones that are within that couple of meters will ping back. And so all it's doing is sort of seeing which smartphones are around. And then if there's an infection, if you get an infection or one of those other folks with those smartphones get an infection, they basically give to the public health department the list of smartphones that they were around, that they pinged for more than 15 minutes, so long enough to create an infection. So in that sense, it's a very simple app, what it's doing. It's not collecting where you were, but it's really about the people you don't know that you were with, helping to find them.
So if you're at the supermarket at the same time as someone who then does test positive, you know, all right, I was in the same aisle as them potentially.
As Debbie.
I don't know if you need 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to that night.
You know, I don't know. I'm looking at the pasta. I might be there 15 minutes figuring out which shape I want.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big decision for the
What's
night.
What's the difference between rigatoni and penne?
You and Debbie need to know.
Mark, there was obviously a little bit of concern when the government started talking about the app, about privacy and about the misuse of the information collected. Can you shed some light on those areas of concern?
I feel as though everyone should feel a little bit like their privacy is being invaded by this app. We just have to be honest about that and go, yes, the government's tracking something we wouldn't normally want them tracking. The question is whether the benefit in this case is worth it and if it's temporary. In this case, it clearly is. We want to be able to delete that app. The government has said they'll delete the data. They're passing legislation right now that protects that data. So if we take them at their word, then we say, okay, this is a temporary solution to a temporary problem.
But aren't they tracking us anyway with Facebook, Instagram? Can't they already get our information that easily?
So the thing is, when commercial orgs track you, they're doing it to sell you something, all right? And they actually don't like to share that information around, even with the government. But in general, the commercial orgs are just trying to figure out how to advertise at you better, or how to deliver you a pizza faster. When the government is doing it, it's got that added edge that if you're doing something wrong, they could arrest you, they could cut off your benefits. And so we always think about that a lot more carefully.
Yeah, right. And also at the start of the app, I heard people who were concerned that you needed to either have the app open or running or on certain settings on your phone. What after the download happens, what exactly do you have to do for it to work?
So you do have to launch the app, and you always have to make sure if you restart your phone, if you turn it off and on again, you have to make sure that you relaunch the app so that the app is running. Because if it's not running, then it can't be talking to your Bluetooth. It can't be sending out that ping signal.
Mark, do you know what the uptake so far has been? What did the government say we needed to happen?
40%.
40%. Do we know where we are sitting with people having downloaded it?
So there are somewhere between 15 and 16 million adults with smartphones, because we own a lot of smartphones here in Australia. There's something less than 6 million downloads so far, and the government's kind of hitting a wall. I figured they probably would after around 5 million. Things are slowing down. And this is people either who just don't download a lot of apps all the time or are really worried about the privacy issues. But the question is, can you do something that might keep you from infecting a family member because you found out you've been exposed? And I feel like that's enough of a reason here to download the app.
Mm. Mark, another thing that intrigues me about you, aside from the app, that you are a futurist, and I'm really intrigued by people like this. So what's your take on what you think will change in society forever as a result of what we're going through at the moment?
Australians dropped cash like a dirty hot potato as soon as the pandemic began. It was really interesting. We were seeing it happen slowly, and then all of a sudden, bammo, all right? So that's actually already happened. So we're now moving rapidly away from cash. we're moving into what I call contactless culture, which is where we're going to be touching each other. Certainly, till there's a vaccine, we're not going to be touching each other at all, but probably that will also hang on in the way things work. And that means we have to rethink retail, not just about online, but what it means to be able to go into a shop and get help without having the clerk help you. Mm. We need to think about all of these different processes really differently now, because people will be guarding their personal spaces if their lives depended on it, because it does.
Do you think we'll be able to pack into stadiums again for like the NRL Grand Final?
I think it will be able to happen after there's a vaccine, but probably not before there's a vaccine. Unless we could have some really effective treatments, which basically make it nothing more than going to the hospital, getting a couple of shots, and you're fine again. And if we have that level, then maybe we'll be able to tolerate it. But I can't see us having Grand Final this year, and maybe not even next year. We're going to see, because it's going to be based on how bad we think an outbreak will happen if there's an infected person in there. You know, we've seen this situation in South Korea where this guy went out dancing one night in South Korea last week, and already they've traced about 200 infections to him. So just one person can cause an enormous outbreak.
Wow. Well, Mark Pesce, a futurist, host of the Next Billion Seconds podcast, thank you so much. It was very enlightening.
Thank you.